am your host, Sean Sears. I'm a writer for NBC Sports Chicago, and on episode 141, in the first segment of today's show, we're going to recap the exciting 9-1 win over the Diamondbacks. The Cubs beat up on Matt Andrees. I was saying his name wrong pretty much the entire podcast yesterday, so I apologize for anyone that was... I was driving insane. I apologize. We're going to recap this game. We'll take a look at the series finale here today against the Diamondbacks. In that second segment, we'll roll into kind of what the bullpen looks like without Brandon Morrow, as it was announced yesterday that he is officially done for the season. We'll kind of talk about what Theo Epstein said about that and kind of get... There's a few things Morrow said yesterday, so we'll get his take on it, take a look at what the bullpen could look like for the rest of the season and potentially into the postseason now without Pedro Strop and Brandon Morrow. And then the third and final segment, we'll take a look at the NL Central standings. Some good things happened for the Cubs yesterday, and kind of take a quick look at the wild card like we always have. So, yesterday's game. In the podcast yesterday, actually prior to the game, I said that Matt Andrees had a pretty rough go at it with Arizona, had a 7-plus ERA coming into today's game or yesterday's game, and it was the first start of his career with the Diamondbacks, at least. Had started four games, I think, for the Rays before being traded. Things did not go well for him. He was able to only last through the second inning, gave up 5 hits, 5 runs. 2 of those were home runs, and quickly pulled from this game. Had 4 strikeouts, surprisingly. That doesn't, not surprising from the Cubs, but had him up to 61 pitches. Kind of the key turning point early in the game was an at-bat from Anthony Rizzo. He saw 17 pitches. Really forced Andrees to kind of try and make his pitches and do what he could do, but I mean, Tony just kept fouling balls off left and right, taking pitches that were breaking below the plate, pulled one that looked like it was going to be gone, then he hit a scorcher right up the middle, and Ketel Marte was able to snag it and get the out. But what happened shortly after that was a home run from Javier Baez. He had a 2-run shot following that after a 17-pitch plate appearance from Anthony Rizzo, followed up with a home run. So Cubs got off to an early 2-0 lead in the first inning, thanks to Javier Baez, and of course, now Daniel Murphy got on base. Later in the second inning, Ian Happ came up and doubled into left, scoring Hayward, and then Daniel Murphy followed it up with a home run. Happ scored, and the Cubs went up 5-0, and that was the day for Matt Andrees. He was struck out Chris Bryant and then was pulled shortly after that for Jimmy Scheifele. Mike Montgomery pitched pretty well, hit a season-high 8 strikeouts. I think that ties his season-high for the season. He looked pretty solid. 6 innings, 5 hits, only that 1 single run. Ketel Marte hit us all those shots, and that would be the lone run for the Diamondbacks. The Cubs tacked on a couple more runs throughout the game. All around, just a really strong performance here from the Cubs. Rizzo, I think, singled through the right field side, scored Murphy and Bryant. Contreras had a ground out that scored Rizzo. And then Baez came around and scored on a fly ball from Almora, and that was the scoring. The Cubs were able to score 4 more runs there. I believe that was in the 5th inning, and that about sealed the deal there for the Cubs. Ended up taking home this win 9-1, improving to 89-62 on the season. Offense was great. It was fantastic to see them finally come out here. But Mike Montgomery's performance might get a little overlooked here because of the great game that they had offensively. Montgomery cruised for 6 innings, gave up only those 5 hits, was out at 94 pitches, was kind of, you could tell he was at the end of his rope there a little bit. This was his first start in a long time. I think in like 4 or 5 starts where he's gone more than 4 innings, was able to go all the way to 6 innings. He hadn't done that since sometime in early July. So it was an encouraging start, and it's just another string of really good starting pitching for the Cubs. From, I think, the All-Star break on, the Cubs have the best starting ERA for this year. This rotation has really just figured it out, and it's been from guys like contributing, like Mike Montgomery coming out of nowhere, and just not nowhere, I guess. I mean, it's kind of underselling Montgomery, but coming into the fold as a guy that, you know, everyone saw him as a swing guy, and now he's showing he definitely deserves to be a starter in this league. Cole Hamels coming into this rotation has been a godsend. He's already tops in, I think John Lester is the only one ahead of him right now in WAR right now for pitching on the season. He's been great. You can't say enough about the starters. They're giving the Cubs a chance every game to win, and we saw that through this 14-game stretch where they were just abysmal at the plate. They were still able to pull out series wins. They were still kind of coming close and keeping the Brewers within arm's distance to an extent. So it's great that, the Cubs pitching has been so good, but clearly the offense needs to be better, and we're seeing just that here in the last couple of games here. So hopefully this is a trend of good things to come and not just a blip from playing a team that might be kind of coming towards the end of their postseason run here, or attempt to make a postseason run. So for the finale today against the Diamondbacks, it'll be Cole Hamels versus Robbie Ray. Robbie Ray's had a kind of an up-and-down season, but he's really turned it on in the last seven games. He's got a 2.65 ERA, has only allowed more than two runs once in that seven-game stretch, and that was back on August 17th. Since then, he's had a string of 1-0 and two-run games. He's pitched really well and pulled together and looks more like the guy we saw in 2017 is less of what we saw at the beginning of the season. And, of course, Cole Hamels has been a stud. His season ERA is 3.67, but, of course, in his last seven starts with the Cubs, he's got a 1.75 ERA. He got knocked around a little bit against the Nationals, was only able to go 5 2/3, but came back with a strong game in Cincinnati going 7 2/3, was able to scat around eight hits. The last time Arizona saw Cole Hamels was in 2013, so a completely different team. Not too many of the guys in Arizona's lineup have seen Cole Hamels a whole lot, so we'll have to see what exactly happens with that. There's a couple guys that have, I believe, Ketel Marte somehow has 25 plate appearances against him, or 25 games against him. He's got a 6.13 OPS. Steve Souza's seen him three times and has a 1600 OPS against him. So, I mean, like, there's some guys that have seen him a couple times, but there's a lot of blanks and zeros on Baseball Reference. So not too many guys have seen Cole Hamels. This seems like another game where the Cubs dominate defensively, offensively. They're going to probably struggle a little bit against a guy like Robbie Ray, who does pile up strikeouts. He doesn't have nearly as much as he has last couple years, but of course, you know, he's battled injuries. He's thrown about half the innings he did in the last two seasons this year. So he's battled back, but he's a guy who can mow some dudes down. The lefty bats seem to struggle, the Cubs seem to struggle that a little bit. They do have the ready bats. Hopefully a guy like David Bodie, Addison Russell maybe can pull together. I talked a little bit yesterday on the show how they've just been, you know, kind of zeros on offense right now. So hopefully that changes here, but at the very least, we know Cole Hamels is going to give you a good start, and with how many people haven't seen him in this lineup, I think it's going to be a big advantage to the Cubs. So that game starts, of course, I believe at, I think it's 8:40 Central Time, because it's an 8:40 start local, so it should be 8:40 for the Cubs. So big game. The Cubs got to keep winning, of course. The Brewers did lose yesterday, so they did jump up a game in the standings at this point. Last 10 games, 6-4, Cubs could easily kind of finish out, sweep this, go to the White Sox, should probably take 2 or 3 from there, and, you know, from that point, it's the stretch run, and the Cubs are sitting really pretty. So let's hope things kind of keep panning out the way they do. It's great to see the Cubs' offense kind of pulling it together finally. The pitching has been solid, at least on the starting-wise. We're going to go into the bullpen here in this second segment and kind of talk about what options the Cubs have without Brandon Morrow and Pedro Strop at closer. So for those of you who missed it yesterday, it was announced that Brandon Morrow is done for the season, unfortunately. It sounded like what Epstein was talking yesterday. Every time he pitched, it seemed to get worse. He wasn't getting any better. He sounded like he was just kind of pitching through pain pretty much all season for the most part. And Epstein pointed out a specific game in June where against the Mets where they had to go 14 innings. They had him go back-to-back games, or back-to-back innings, I think is what they were trying to say. It was a tweet from Jesse Rogers that was kind of explaining. It was a little confusing, but basically they were saying they overworked Morrow, and since then he's been kind of fighting an uphill battle. And it kind of does show that he was a little less effective as the season went on, but clearly, I mean, this guy's hurting every time he goes out there. It's just frustrating because I know Ryan talked about it a bunch on this podcast. He's mentioned it a little bit in the last day or two. You know, leaning on a guy like Brandon Morrow to be your back end closer didn't seem like maybe the smartest move, just because he is a guy with a checkered injury past and he has very few times been healthy. Of course, last year in the World Series, he pitched in every postseason game for the Dodgers. He is been fantastic when healthy, clearly lights out, can toss at 100 miles an hour, had thrown off the mound twice last week, had thrown a sim game last Saturday with live batters. It looked like he was getting closer and closer to returning this weekend against the White Sox. And it just seems like, unfortunately, they ran out of time. So Morrow's not going to be on this postseason roster. It looks like Pedro Strop is a giant question mark to be on this postseason roster at this point. So that means the bullpen arms that, you know, the Cubs can really lean on, at least in my opinion, would be Steve Cishek, Justin Wilson, that is, Carl Edwards Jr., Jesse Chavez, and, you know, a bunch of question marks beyond that, honestly. Tony wrote an article that I referenced yesterday about who he was predicting to be in this bullpen. He has Chavez, Wilson, Cishek, Edwards, Montgomery, and then he, of course, added Brandon Morrow, and then the question was whether or not Dylan Maples or Jorge De La Rosa would make this roster. Now, I think you have to consider, you know, De La Rosa, Maples, those guys are probably going to be locks, potentially, and then you have to consider maybe even Jaime Garcia. It's frustrating. It's really frustrating to see a team that can be so good battle injuries, battle consistency issues, just seemingly not have a smooth patch of games outside of maybe the first week of September when they were playing the Phillies, and it just doesn't seem like everything wants to come together at once, unfortunately. Right now, you kind of look at the options. I would say Dylan Maples, I talked about yesterday, kind of like capturing lightning in a bottle if he can find his control. Two back-to-back solid outings for Dylan Maples. Let's hope that this guy can be something, because having that type of electric stuff at the back end of your bullpen or wherever in your bullpen in general would be huge. I think it's going to come down to the matchups more than anything at this point, because I don't think there's anyone here that you've got that in the remaining pieces that could make this bullpen, you know, like Alec Mills or whoever else, is really like going to outshine anyone. It's really just going to be who's effective in certain moments that might come up more than others facing these teams. So matchups are going to be the big decider, I think, in this at this point. There was rumblings that Strope might be able to come back right towards the end of the season. You don't want to rush him back, though, because clearly Pedro Strope's important for this season, but he's important for seasons on, too. Brandon Morrow, the same thing. Theo Epstein literally said that they were going to have Brandon Morrow on the day after he pitched show up to the ballpark without spikes. Like, he's not throwing. And Epstein was 100% serious when he said that. So the Cubs, probably this offseason, are going to have to seriously consider maybe having Morrow be a setup guy and then add someone. Or maybe they're expecting Dylan Maples to maybe come into this role. CJ Edwards, maybe Justin Wilson, they decide to re-sign. Who knows? But they're going to have to probably find a more legitimate option at closer. Just because I don't know if Brandon Morrow can be relied on, and I don't know if Pedro Strop is successful if he's been in this closer role. Is a guy you want being your closer on for an entire 162 games. So there's going to be options. The good news is the bullpen feels very confident in themselves. They've talked about how they're, you know, Justin Wilson says they're a bunch of closers. That's good news to hear, and it's a good thing to say. Is it believable, though? Not necessarily, because like I said, there's maybe three or four guys you can really lean on, and leaning on Carl Edwards Jr. right now is more of necessity than it is out of, you know, clear cut, this guy's fantastic. CJ clearly is a great reliever, can and has the potential to be an elite back-end guy. His control issues are just going to be an issue, it seems like, for his entire career. So if he can command his pitches, he's elite. When he's not throwing strikes. Same thing can be said about Dylan Maples. Same thing can be said about quite a few relievers the Cubs have. So they're going to have to take a serious look at the closer position in this offseason. But for the moment now, I mean, the good news is this bullpen is still very good. They've found ways to be extremely effective. You just have to hope that they can pull together and be an effective club. I am nervous about it. And I don't know what direction they can really go outside of praying that someone like Dylan Maples can pull together, otherwise they might be in some trouble. And the flip side of this is now the Cubs are going to have to really lean on their starters, and in a postseason game, you know, you want to be able to turn your bullpen with confidence, and right now I don't know if you can do that in a consistent 5 or 7 game series. So the Cubs are going to have to hope for the best and pray that Pedro Strop can be healthy enough to maybe be included on this postseason roster, but the way things are set up right now, that looks like a big if. So let's roll to the third and final segment here quickly. We'll go into the NL Central standings, take a look at the wild card, and a couple quick little tidbits before we jump out of here. So the Cubs, of course, won yesterday and the Brewers lost. So that means the Cubs jump up to 3.5 games in the division. Milwaukee loses a game in the wild card. But at the standings right now for the NL Central go, Cubs at 89-62 lead the division. Milwaukee is 3.5 back at 86-66. St. Louis is 5.5 back at 84-68. Pittsburgh 76-74, 12.5 back. And Cincinnati at 65-87 or 24.5 back. Taking a look at the NL wild card right now, Milwaukee, two games up in that top wild card spot. St. Louis now in single control of that second wild card spot. They would be the away team in that play-in game on October 3rd. Colorado now a game and a half behind. And Philly, Arizona, six games back. Pittsburgh, Washington, seven games back. It's probably, as I said before, going to come down to between who's winning the NL East and, you know, who's runner-up in the NL Central at this point. That's going to come in here. Right now, it looks like Milwaukee probably has a firm grasp of being a postseason team. St. Louis has been able to claw their way back into this a little bit after slipping some. Colorado's still very much in the picture at a game and a half back. They're a game and a half back in the division right now against the Dodgers. The postseason race is starting to heat up and get closer and closer, and it's getting exciting. So for what it's worth, God, I really, really hope Colorado can take back the division or something, just because I do not want to see the Dodgers pitching coming to the postseason, just because, you know, they've got a staff talented enough to really change the dynamic of things. That being said, offensively, they haven't been doing too much, too, but they're a streaking team and a team I don't really want to face. But at the same time, don't really want to go to Colorado and have to deal with trying to pitch there either. So, you know, there's not an easy team or matchup in this postseason right now. So before we finish the show here, I just wanted to quickly go over the Cubs named their minor league player and pitcher of the year. Jared Young, an infielder, he's 23 years old, was the minor league player of the month in June. Had a pretty solid season after, you know, his first full season in the pros. Had he was drafted last year, played for half the season with the Emeralds, the Eugene Emeralds. That's where they're from. Played with them. Didn't have necessarily a fantastic season. Batted like .253. Kind of scuffled a little bit, but then came into his first full season and really kind of showed what he could do. Finished the season with, I believe, 16 home runs. Had somewhere around, I think it was nearly like, I want to say it's like 76 RBIs or something like that. You know, he had 53 with South Bend before he got promoted to Myrtle Beach. So an impressive bat, a guy that could play first base, second base, and a little bit of the outfield. So interesting guy, 23 years old. He could be coming up soon to contribute for the Cubs in the next year or so. So keep an eye out on Jared Young. And then the other guy was Matt Swarmer. Swarmer is a pitcher, right-handed, has had a pretty solid 2018 season. Pretty much dominated in Myrtle Beach at 2.28 ERA, was striking out over 10 batters per nine innings and walking only 1.2 batters per nine innings. So really impressive stuff. Moved over to Double A Tennessee, still was pretty effective, a 3.84 ERA, still slightly less strikeouts, but 8.08 K per nine, a walk rate of 1.6. Per nine innings, pretty solid. On the season, he struck out 35 batters compared to only walking 21 combined from Myrtle Beach and Tennessee. Impressive stuff. Two guys that, you know, could eventually become some type of trade pieces, or, you know, maybe they contribute in some type of way at some point. None of these guys are elite prospects, but great to see guys kind of pull together and make this Cubs system, for the most part, look like what it used to be. So it's exciting to see these guys come back. I don't think any of these guys are top prospects. They probably still won't be top prospects in the Cubs rating for next year. Their system's pretty, I think, underratedly deep. So we'll see some guys come up here, but great to see some depth all around in the minors. And all that means for the Cubs is you've got potential guys coming up that can contribute during injuries, or, you know, add depth on the bench for the postseason run. In September next year, you've got trade pieces. So good news all around there. So that'll do it here for today, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Tomorrow's show, we will be recapping, of course, the hopefully a win against the Diamondbacks, and it'll be the last off day of the year. So on Friday's podcast, I'm going to need some help here. So I'm going to send out a question later today, or send out a tweet asking for questions. But anything you guys have, tweet them at me at Sean R. Sears. Tweet them at Lockdown Cubs. You can email lockdowncubs@gmail.com. Send your questions there. I'll be happy to help out. I've got a couple questions I've saved from previous ones that people have DM'd me and emailed me. So send them our way. Be happy to answer any of those questions. But beyond that, thanks for tuning in. Subscribe to the podcast, leave a 5-star review, listen to us anywhere, Spotify, Apple, you know, iTunes, Google Play, pretty much anywhere you can find a podcast, you can find Locked On Cubs. Thanks again, and enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.